Hare Krishna. It takes many many ingredients to make a beautiful festival, and coming together in front of the beautiful deities of Sri Sri Radha Gokul Ananda are the first ingredient. It is said that the Lord makes his appearance in this world very mercifully as the deities. And for many years now, we've had the opportunity of coming together in front of Sri Sri Radha Gokul Ananda, especially for festivals like today. And it takes, apparently, on Radhastami, it takes cakes to make a festival. If you look at the altar, those of you who are not you to the who are new to the way we do the Radhashtami, particularly the Radhashtami festival here at Bhaktivedanta Manor, you'll see the most beautiful cakes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and more. Huh? Down there's loads, he says, on the floor. We cannot see them yet. They're not manifest to us. With eyes of devotion, we should be able to see. But beautifully, this has become a Bhaktivedanta Manor tradition of cake making. So there's great competition to see whose cake will be placed at the feet of Radharani on her appearance day. And not just any cake will do, it has to be a decorated cake with flowers, fruits, and a beautiful sleeping Radha. Can you see the blue one just at the feet? Beautiful golden Radha, a baby Radha sleeping. Shh. So we have a beautiful ensemble here, and the flowers, of course, have been made very, very nicely. And can you see Sri Radha's name has been picked out in flowers behind the deities? But of course, the most important ingredient is the kirtan, which was so nicely sung by different devotees, and the devotees themselves. Without the devotees, you cannot have a festival. Is it possible to have a festival without devotees? Not really. You must have the devotees. And inside the heart of the devotees, there must be love. So love makes the festival. It's a wonderful opportunity today to come together to celebrate in love this appearance day of Srimati Radharani. Srimati Radharani is described in many ways, and I thought it would be appropriate to see how Srila Prabhupada describes Srimati Radharani, since there is so much literature available. We don't know where that literature has come from, but devotees sometimes exchange stories as if it was fact. We have to check our text, check our chapters, and see the authenticity of various stories. And what we can do, certainly at this point in the Hare Krishna movement, just a few days before we are going to be celebrating 50 years since, in the presence of Srila Prabhupada, our wonderful ISKCON movement in this country was signed into existence, we should check to see what Prabhupada said about Srimati Radharani. Don't you think that's appropriate? I thought so too, so they asked me to give the class. So Radharani is the queen of Vrindavan, Prabhupada describes her. And the queen of Vrindavan, why? Because she is the, if you like, the fountainhead. The fountainhead means, if you see a mighty river, like the River Thames, you go and see the River Thames. And the question is, where does the Thames come from? We know where it goes. All the rivers go to the sea. But where does the Thames come from? Beautiful Thames River. And you trace it all the way back, all the way back. And as you trace it all the way back, you come to, yes, a smaller origin, but it's the seat of all power, the origin of all power. So a mighty river comes. So a mighty river is in the flow. There's this Krishna consciousness movement is like a mighty river. We see all over the world now, although there are various regional variations where Krishna consciousness is perhaps at the moment not flowing very strongly. And devotees complain, oh, the movement is not like it was. But generally speaking, if you look all over our movement, you'll find that by the mercy of Srimati Radharani, this movement is flowing very, very strongly. Why? Because she is the person who is the very beginnings. So I found this verse in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila 4.248, and it's one of the verses where Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains the very origins of Lord Chaitanya's movement, because he explains the very origins of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. So let's repeat this one. So we read. Can everybody read that writing? It's been written by an adult because it's joined up writing. Generally speaking, though, whoever wrote the verse, childlike simplicity is called for so that you can read it nicely. But if you can read it, that's good. This is Krishna speaking, Sri Krishna. Thus, although I am the source for the happiness of the entire world, the beauty and attributes of Sri Radhika are my life and soul. Let's carry on to see, because it's very interesting what Krishna says here, coming through the mind and pen of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. He continues, in this way, my affectionate feelings for Srimati Radharani may be understood, but on analysis, I find them contradictory. My eyes are fully satisfied when I look upon Srimati Radharani, but by looking upon me, she becomes even more advanced in satisfaction. The flute-like murmur of the bamboos rubbing against one another steals Radharani's consciousness, for she thinks it to be the sound of my flute, and she embraces a tamal tree, mistaking it for me. I have gotten the embrace of Sri Krishna, she thinks, so now my life is fulfilled. Thus, she remains immersed in pleasing Krishna, taking the tree in her arms. When a favorable breeze carries to her the fragrance of my body, she is blinded by love and tries to fly into that breeze. When she tastes the betel chewed by me, she merges in an ocean of joy and forgets everything else. Even with hundreds of mouths, I cannot express the transcendental pleasure she derives from my association. Seeing the luster of her complexion after our pastimes together, I forget my own identity in happiness. The sage Bharata has said that the mellows of lover and beloved are equal, but he does not know the mellows of my Vrindavan. And purport, according to expert sexologists like Bharata Muni, both male and female enjoy equally in material sexual pleasure. But in the spiritual world, the relationships are different, although this is unknown to mundane experts. He continues, the happiness I feel when meeting Radharani is 100 times greater than the happiness I get from meeting others. My dear auspicious Radharani, your body is the source of all beauty. Your red lips are so soft, softer than the scents of immortal sweetness. Your face bears the aroma of a lotus flower. Your sweet words defeat the vibrations of the cuckoo, and your limbs are cooler than the pulp of sandalwood. All my transcendental senses are overwhelmed in ecstatic pleasure by tasting you, who are completely decorated by beautiful qualities. Her eyes are enchanted by the beauty of Lord Krishna, the enemy of Kamsa. Her body thrills in pleasure at his touch. Her ears are always attracted to his sweet voice. Her nostrils are enchanted by his fragrance, and her tongue hankers for the nectar of his lips. She hangs down a lotus-like face, exercising self-control only by pretense. But she cannot help showing the external signs of her spontaneous love for Lord Krishna. Krishna continues, considering this, I can understand that some unknown mellow in me controls the entire existence of my captivator, Srimati Radharani. I'm always eager to taste the joy that Radharani derives from me. In spite of various efforts, I have not been able to taste it, but my desire to relish that pleasure increases as I smell its sweetness. I have appeared in the world to taste mellows. I shall taste the mellows of pure love in various ways. I shall teach devotional service, which springs from the spontaneous love of the devotees, by demonstrating it myself with my pastimes. So then we go on to the revelation that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is indeed the fountainhead of the Sankirtan movement, because he is Krishna who combines with Radharani's mood in order to not only relish, but to distribute that mood. There was a series of paintings painted in Calcutta around about 1914, 15, 19, 1919, something like that. Prabhupada was very fond of these particular paintings, because he said these paintings capture the mood of Radharani. We used to have them displayed upstairs. But in one of them, Srimati Radharani is taking another gopi's hand and joining it to Krishna's hand. And Prabhupada said, this is the mood of Radharani. She loves to be with Krishna. It is her, the essence of her life. She is Sri Radha, which means the best worshipper, the best lover of God. So she loves to be in the presence of God, but she will sacrifice that pleasure to give another pleasure. So this is the mood. I love God, but I will sometimes sacrifice my pleasure of loving God at being the person who brings this person together with God. This is the mood of the followers of Srimati Radharani. Today is a very special day because it's the day that many of us who sometimes feel that we have been left behind by Krishna consciousness, isn't it? We're not sure sometimes of our relationship with Krishna, if Krishna really cares for my devotion. I can't really serve you, my Lord, very much. I'm only a very small devotee. I read about the great devotees, but then it comes to me. So I pray to you, but are you listening to my prayer? So today, of all days, it's a day to remember that we are not only connected to Krishna through prayer, but to Srimati Radharani through prayer. And if Prabhupada said one thing about Radharani, it was that she is more merciful than Krishna. He said right here in this room in 1973, when the deities of Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda were being installed, he said that if you come into the temple room, there was a lot of, even while the installation was going on, behind the curtains there was hammers banging and screws being, and things were being painted, even on the day of installation. So there was a lot of construction. And this construction was sometimes quite noisy, but Prabhupada accepted it as devotion. Noisy. Devotion isn't always contemplative prayer. Sometimes it's the sound of a hammer banging. One time Prabhupada was in Vrindavan, and he listened, and he couldn't hear the construction going on. He said, where was the construction? He said, this is the sound of devotion to Krishna, the sound of construction. Another time he listened, and no one had rung the bell. This is the sound of devotion to Krishna, regularity, punctuality, ringing the bell for Krishna. And so that he said, if you come into the temple, and he said, you put one screw, he said, you turn one screw in the wall. He said, Radharani will see, yes, here is a devotee. And she will turn to Krishna and say, my dear Lord, look at this great devotee. Look at this great devotee putting one screw in the wall. He said, please give him your mercy. He's a great devotee. So in theology, sometimes it's known as the mediatrix. The mediatrix, either Lakshmi or Sita or Srimati Radharani, who is the interlocutor, the in-between, that person who takes our prayers to the Supreme. Very important to have as many people as possible on our side. We need as much help as possible. Here we are, creatures stuck in Kali Yuga. It is very difficult to be a devotee. One thing we have noticed, it is very difficult to become a devotee. It is very difficult to stay a devotee. And if you stay a devotee, it is very difficult to become a pure devotee. Anybody find it easy? Perhaps coming to Krishna consciousness is slightly easier. It's fresh. It's new. It's inspiring. Everything is different than we've ever experienced before. It's the devotees, it's the prasadam, it's the kirtan, it's the artwork. So, when Krishna consciousness is a novelty, I'll give you maybe 2 or 3 years. And if you haven't been doing the hard work, then that's where the hard work begins. But then the common complaint is, well, I knew it was going to be hard work, but I didn't know it was going to be this hard. So then those in the mode of goodness or passion or ignorance, they have different things that they do at that point when it starts becoming difficult. People in the mode of goodness, they say, it's got to be me, it's my problem. I better pray more, chant more, serve more, read more, associate with more advanced devotees. Those in the mode of passion, they say, well, I guess all the spiritual stuff isn't for me. I better do business or work hard for Krishna. And then those in the mode of ignorance say, it's not my problem. It's not my fault. It was ISKCON's problem. It was them. They did it. I'd be an inspired devotee if it wasn't for this one and this one and this one and this one. No. We are inspired devotees if we become inspired. Inspire means, inspiration means to be, receive the oxygen. Inspire. We inspire and we respire. We inspire and expire, and that makes respiration. So what is the oxygen of the spiritual life? The oxygen of spiritual life is mercy. And we make ourselves a fit recipient for mercy. At one point, Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, you make yourself a fit recipient for mercy if you understand Sambandha. If you understand what is your relationship to Godhead, make yourself in the position of understanding your relationship to Godhead, and then the mercy will come. So there's a constant understanding. We never can find ourselves in a position where we think, I know all this. I know all this already. One who knows does not know. One who doesn't know, he or she is in a very good position to learn. If you know everything, how can you learn anything at all? But what happens is that just as a bird flies as high as its wings will take it, so we also fly in Krishna consciousness as high as our wings will take us. But the thing is that we're meant to develop new wings. We are devotees, we're meant to develop new wings and go higher, 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 higher. So how we do that is appealing to the highest. So on today of all days, we come before Srimati Radharani and say, my dear lady, you are the supreme in the service of Sri Krishna, your Lord. You alone can inspire me to become the better servant. Please give me your mercy on this day. So what does Prabhupada say? He says that devotion to Radharani is the topmost expression of Krishna consciousness. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in one of his songs, Srimati Radhika is the teacher of the mellow of conjugal love. The pure love between Radha and Madhava is meant to be discussed and contemplated. Every time we sing Jai Radha Madhava, we're doing just that. It's a contemplation, it's a meditation. Not something to be missed. And re-enter the class just as the verse recitation is finished. This Jai Radha Madhava sent Srila Prabhupada into ecstasy. Every day it can be a new song, if you're actually meditating on it, or every day it can be the boring beginning of another class. It's up to you. You can make it what you want. Every day can be a new day, or every day can be just the same as the last one. Depends on you. Srila Prabhupada's explanation of Srimati Radharani was progressive. In 1966, in the summer, in New York, he said that on Janmashtami, we have to fast all day because Krishna is very strong and hard. But on Radhastami, we only have to fast until noon because Radharani is soft and kind. Haribo! So I think that Prabhupada's first explanation of Srimati Radharani is like a sutra. And if you understand this, pretty much we can finish the class right here, and you won't have to listen to any more. Because Prabhupada said, Srimati Radharani is the best devotee of Krishna. Let's repeat it. Because she loves him the most. That's it. Any questions? Any comments? Then he goes on. Prabhupada then explained that Radharani was interested in the welfare of all devotees and that we could pray to her. He said, you cannot go directly to Krishna, but if Krishna's devotee is pleased with you, then he or she will recommend you to Krishna, and Krishna will be obliged to give you his mercy. This is especially true if you get the mercy of Srimati Radharani. So Prabhupada put knowledge of Radharani in the very first books that he translated. It was very important for him. Although we are the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, with Krishna, we get Sri Radha, always. Everywhere he was in the world, Prabhupada would install Radha Krishna deities. And that makes double the service, double the effort, double the prayers. But at the same time, if Prabhupada had not given us Radha Krishna, we would not be the Hare Krishna movement. So although our focus is on Krishna, Krishna's focus is on Radharani. And that interplay between Krishna and Radharani is what gives us our unique flavor as the Hare Krishna movement. In South Indian tradition, sometimes you will have Rukmini, who is worshipped. And this interplay between Rukmini and Krishna is there. Or perhaps Satyabhama, one of the queens of Krishna. Or in the secret texts, we also have such as Tirupavai, we also discover the other identity. Or the name for Srimati Radharani is Napinai. So we'll have these texts that the gopis are going with Krishna. This is more than 500 years ago. We go back to 900 years. So not only that Krishna and Radha is worshipped in Bengal, although we often say we are the Gaudiya Vaishnavas and therefore we are the Bengal Vaishnavas, you should understand that Srimati Radharani has been worshipped for thousands of years. So what does Prabhupada say? In 1967, Prabhupada translated, or rather he wrote, this book, which I received in 1974. I got this, I won this in a Sankirtan competition. Can you believe? I think they just arranged it. It was my first week. So they thought I'd done very well. And the prize was the Bhagavad Gita. And then a devotee said to me, he said, well, no, actually, we need the Bhagavad Gita for our traveling party. Can I give you this book instead? So at that moment, I'd only been a devotee for a year, so I didn't really understand the difference between the Bhagavad Gita and the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And the devotee said to me something which I have since forgiven for him. He said, actually, it's the same book. And it was then that I was initiated into the cunning words of devotees. So here it is, the same book as the Bhagavad Gita. So this is printed in 1967. They don't make book covers like this anymore, do they? So what does Prabhupada say? What does Prabhupada say in his introduction? This is, I always read this every time I'm asked to give this class because I just haven't read anything better. And Prabhupada talks about Prabhupada talks about Srimati Radharani as being the spellings are all very different. What we know is the Hladini potency. There's Sandini, Samvit, and Hladini. These three constitute Krishna's internal energy. The Hladini potency, or Shakti, is the potency by which Krishna himself experiences pleasure. So these are manifested not as impersonal energies, but as persons. And that is the irreducibility of personhood. This is the very core of our philosophy, that you cannot take you cannot say that the Shakti of God comes out as imperson. Everything is personal. So then, Prabhupada says here, he calls it the Allahadini, which I think is quite nice. And Sambit and Sandini. So he's talking about a particular verse. He says, talking about Lord Chaitanya. He says, he is Krishna, but he has taken the mode of Radharani. Please listen very carefully to this, because this is, I think, Prabhupada's best explanation of Srimati Radharani. What is Radha Krishna? Radha Krishna is the exchange of love. And what is that love? This is not ordinary love. Krishna has immense potencies, of which three are principal: internal, external, and marginal. In the internal potency, there are three divisions: Sambit, Allahadini, and Sandini. The Haladini potency is the pleasure potency. We must always know that we also have this pleasure-seeking potency. We are all trying to have pleasure. This is the nature of the living entity. We are now trying to enjoy our pleasure potency in this material condition, with this body, by bodily contact. So now, Prabhupada, before we even knew what Prakriti Sahajas were, this is 1967 that Prabhupada is writing this, no one really knows anything about Krishna consciousness. We just know that we love Prabhupada, there's this Jagannath, we pull Jagannath through the streets, we distribute chapatis, and no one really knows anything. But Prabhupada's talking about the Prakriti Sahajas, and everybody's, where are they? They don't exist. But wherever there is Radha and Krishna, there is mistakes about what Radha and Krishna mean. There is mistakes about that love. Wherever we explain Krishna consciousness, there is mistakes in the understanding of Krishna consciousness. This is not something that just happened 500 years ago or 200 years ago. It's happening right here in England. Right here in England. We are losing devotees to the Prakriti Sahaja movement that never goes away. It's always there. Just like if you stand in the sunshine, you will cast a shadow. There's always a shadow. Wherever you discuss these topics, there will be misunderstanding. So Prabhupada, for the benefit of us now, he's speaking back then about things that would happen in the future. So my dear Vaishnavas, please be on guard. So Prabhupada is saying, right here in the introduction to the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, he wants you to understand these things. We are now trying to enjoy our pleasure potency with this bodily contact. But do you think that Krishna, who is always spiritual, will seek pleasure on this material plane? What nonsense is this? Krishna describes this place as non-permanent and full of miseries. Do you think Krishna is going to seek pleasure in this material form? How is it possible? He is the Supersoul. He is the Supreme Spirit. How can he seek pleasure in matter? Really laying it down. Therefore, to learn how Krishna's pleasure can be obtained, you have to study the first 9 cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam. In the 10th canto, Krishna's pleasure potency is displayed as he plays with Radharani, as he plays with the damsels of Braja. Unfortunately, people of less intelligence turn at once to the pleasure potency sports of Krishna in the Dashama Skanda, the 10th canto. These pictures of Krishna embracing Radharani or of the Rasa dance are unfortunately not understood by ordinary men because they do not understand Krishna. They will also falsely understand that Krishna is like us, and just as we want to embrace a young girl, so he embraces the gopis. These people write books because they think that this is a kind of religion where we can indulge in sex and become religionists. This is called Prakriti Sahaja, materialistic lust. One should understand, so he's laying out very carefully the boundaries. So now do you understand your boundaries? We understand our boundaries, okay. One should understand what Radha Krishna is. Now he goes into, so let's, now that you've understood what it's not, let's understand what it is. Radha and Krishna display the pleasure potency of the internal energy of Krishna. That pleasure potency of Krishna's internal energy is a most difficult subject matter, unless one understands what Krishna is. Krishna cannot see any pleasure in this material world, but he has got that pleasure potency. Because we are part and parcel of Krishna, therefore that pleasure potency is within us. But we are trying to exhibit that pleasure potency in matter, while Krishna does not. The object of his pleasure potency is Radharani. That means Krishna exhibits his potency or his energy as Radharani. And this is where it begins to get very, very mystical. Very mystical. So please try and understand this point. Krishna is manifesting as Radharani. His energy is Radharani. That means Krishna exhibits his pleasure potency or his energy as Radharani and then exchanges loving affairs with her. Krishna cannot take pleasure in this external energy. This is very difficult to understand, but just try. Krishna exhibits his internal energy, his pleasure potency, as Radharani. That means that Krishna manifests himself, as he has so many extensions, so many expansions, so many incarnations. So Radharani is the manifestation of his internal pleasure potency. We okay so far? Yeah? I know it's difficult to listen to a reading, but I just thought I'd give you a boring class today instead of stories. So then he says, Radharani is also Krishna. There is no difference between the energy and the energetic. Without energy, there is no meaning to energetic. And without the energetic, there is no meaning to energy. Similarly, without Radha, there is no meaning to Krishna. And without Krishna, there is no meaning to Radha. Therefore, the Vaishnava philosophy, first of all, worships the internal pleasure potency of the Supreme Lord. It is always said, Radha Krishna. Although the author, Krishnadas Kaviraj, is going to explain the intricacies of this pleasure potency, he first of all utters the name of Radha. Similarly, those who worship the name of Narayan, first of all utter the name of Lakshmi. Those who are worshippers of Lord Ram, first of all utter the name of Sita. Sita Ram, Radha Krishna, Lakshmi Narayan. The potency always first. Radha and Krishna are one. Okay, so we'll get this is Prabhupada is building it up. He's building up his explanation. Radha and Krishna are one. When Krishna desires to enjoy pleasure, he manifests himself. The spiritual exchange of love affair is the display of the internal potency or pleasure potency of Krishna. We say when, in parentheses, when Krishna desires, although just when he did desire, we cannot say. But we speak in this way because in conditional life, we take it that everything has some beginning. In the absolute or spiritual life, there is no beginning. There is no end. But in order to understand that Radha and Krishna are one and that they become divided, that question, when, automatically comes to be asked. When Krishna desired to enjoy his pleasure potency, he manifested himself in the separate form of Radharani. Again, when Krishna wanted to understand himself through the agency of Radha, they become united, and that unification is called Lord Chaitanya. Okay. Beautiful, isn't it? Isn't it beautiful? We could stop right here, but I'm not. So then in Montreal, today, in 1968, which is how many years ago? How many years? 49? Huh? 51. Okay, it's a long time ago, huh? 51 years ago. So the movement is just beginning. This is August the 30th, 1968, in Montreal, Canada. Prabhupada is very concerned to present the greatness of Krishna, first of all, as the Supreme Brahman. You see, my dear friends, there are a great many philosophies at work in the world, and we even have our devotees mistakenly taking shelter of this understanding that there must be something beyond Krishna. Maybe you don't get exposed to it, but maybe you encounter arguments against Krishna only from those that you meet at the temple or on the street. But now we even have devotees who have fallen prey to this understanding that there must be something beyond Krishna. This is another aspect of the Sahaja argument, that yes, Radha and Krishna are one, they became separated. Therefore, the oneness is greater than Radha and Krishna. And this was a big philosophy. It came in, Buddhism started in China. Buddhism went out to Sri Lanka, went up to Tibet, and went into China, and then went over to Japan. In our tradition, meditation is dhyan, D-H-Y-A-N, dhyan. In China, it becomes then chan. And in Japan, it becomes zen. So everything comes from India, comes out, and then it started coming back in with traders. We have this big Silk Road, and we have another different road coming in from China. And the first place in India that you hit when you're coming in from China is, of course, Bengal. And Bengal was a mishmash of different ideas, different philosophies. So this idea that ultimately there is a oneness beyond Radha and Krishna, this is, you should take great pains to understand this, because it's a very popular idea. I was just speaking with someone the other night. It's a very, very popular idea. And so at least our Hare Krishna devotees have to become very expert at not only understanding, but explaining. Sentiment, I'm afraid, will not do it. Philosophy must be there. So, ladies and gentlemen, we need to become expert philosophers at reducing the potency of the impersonal arguments, of which there are quite a few. So Prabhupada is, in this extract, he wants to show that the goal of Vedanta, which is a very serious goal for the impersonalists, the Brahman, is Krishna. And that, of course, we can do very expertly, because Vedanta Sutra, all of its 555 verses, was written by Srila Vyasadeva, who then wrote the commentary. So the point here is that if you're seeking Brahman, you can give up all mundane pleasure in order to reach that Brahman. And then he describes how there's a reflection in water of a tree standing on the bank. So in that tree, the highest point of the real tree will be the lowest point in the reflection. So he says, this idea to become Krishna and to have a girlfriend like Radha, he said, this is the highest point in the spiritual world, but it is the lowest point when you try to enjoy it in this world. He said, but you can give that up by trying to attain Brahman. So why then do you mistake that Brahman himself is behaving as if he's an ordinary boy and Radharani is an ordinary girl in this world? This is something that you must give up. Of course, when the original Christian preachers went to India, they were shocked. So, what is your concept of God? Oh, this is God. Oh, he comes and he has many girlfriends and he steals the clothes. Wait, stop right there. Therefore, your God is immoral. You see, if you judge Krishna by the morality that Krishna says we should follow, then you shall judge Krishna very unfavorably. You see. But God is not subject to your morality. Dharmam tu shakshad bhagavat pranitam. All dharma comes from God. But not that once having received dharma, you then take that dharma and project it onto God and saying, well, he's not a very good devotee, is he? I mean, I'm a good devotee. I don't steal women's clothing. Why does Krishna steal women's clothing? See? If it's wrong for me, it must be wrong for him. So Prabhupada points out, tree, reflection, and the reflection is upside down. Highest point becomes the lowest point. So, are you ready for another reading? You know, ready for another reading? I can see some of you saying no, but you're saying yes. But anyway, it's just, I should have had a tape to play it. So he says, when Param Brahma, Krishna is Param Brahma, when Param Brahma wants to enjoy, that enjoying spirit is there in Param Brahma. Otherwise, we cannot have this enjoying spirit. We are trying to enjoy in the matter, in the dull matter. So, Brahman, Brahman, Sukhanubhutya, People are trying to feel what is Brahma Sukha, pleasure of Brahmanubhav. That is not material pleasure. And he gets to the real point that he's making here. That if you can give up material pleasure in order to attain Brahman, how is that supreme Brahman interested in earthly pleasure? How can you possibly project that Radha and Krishna's pastimes in this world are some kind of girl and boy pastimes? Now, of course, all of you, being good Vaishnavas, here you will say, of course, why is Kripa Moya making this point? Why is he belaboring this point? I know this already. But I'm saying this for the times when you don't know. Because this is the thing that will pull us away from Krishna consciousness. And there may be times in your life when you're being pulled away. And this will be one of the main arguments that pull you away, believe me. So many yogis, they have given up their family life, their kingdom, and meditating just to achieve that Brahman pleasure. Actually, the idea is Brahman pleasure. So many brahmacharis. Where are the brahmacharis? So many brahmacharis. So many sannyasis. They are trying to achieve that Brahman pleasure. And in order to achieve that Brahman pleasure, they are neglecting. They are kicking off all this material pleasure. Do you think that Brahman pleasure is ordinary, like this material pleasure? To achieve a Brahman pleasure, if they are kicking off all this material pleasure, don't talk of ourselves. We are ordinary men. In the history, we have got instances, that of Bharat Maharaj. Bharat Maharaj, under whose name this planet is called Bharatvarsha. This Bharat Maharaj was the emperor of the whole world. And as the emperor, he had his beautiful wife, young children. But at the age of 24, just young man, he gave up everything. All right. This is a very old story, of course. But you know, Lord Buddha, he was also a prince. He was also a prince, not ordinary man. And he was Kshatriya. And he was always enjoying with beautiful women. That is the palace pleasure accustomed in every oriental country. That in the palace there are many beautiful girls. They're always dancing and giving pleasure to the kings and the princes. So Lord Buddha was also in such pleasures, but he gave up everything and began to meditate. There are hundreds of instances in Indian history that to realize the Brahman pleasure, they gave up everything. They gave up everything. That is the way. Tapasya means voluntarily accepting something severe for realizing the supreme pleasure. So, the supreme Brahman, Lord Krishna, do you think he's enjoying this material pleasure? Is it very reasonable? This Krishna, he's enjoying Lakshmi Sahasra Shatasambrahma Sevyamanam. Hundreds, thousands of goddess of fortune are engaged in his service. Do you think these Lakshmis are material women? Krishna can take pleasure in the material women? No. This is a mistake. Ananda chinmaya rasa pratibhavitabhis tabirya eva nijarupataya kalabhi. In the Brahma Samhita, you'll find that he expands his ananda chinmaya rasa, the mellow of transcendental pleasure. And these gopis are expansion of his pleasure potency. And Radharani is the center. So Radharani is not. Don't take that Radharani is an ordinary woman like we have our wife or sister or mother. No, she is the pleasure potency. And the birth of Radharani was not from the womb of any human being. She was found by her father in the field. While father was plowing, he saw one little nice child is lying there and he had no children. So he caught it and presented to the queen. Oh, here we have got a very nice child. How you got? Oh, in the field. Just see, Radharani's janma is like that. So then, Prabhupada continues, and he asks for a harmonium. And someone gives him a harmonium. And he begins to sing Rupa Goswami's song. Radhe jaya jaya madhava dayate. I got you all excited there, didn't I? So then he says, listen, if I had a long beard and my name was Swami something from Vrindavan, then I would immediately burst into song and someone would be playing the violin. But that's not me, folks. And I would hold my hands like this and wobble my head, and you'd all be very happy. Unfortunately, I'm simply trying to repeat what Prabhupada said. So then he says, everyone is trying to love Krishna, but Krishna is trying to love somebody. How great she is. Just try to understand. The whole world, the whole universe, all living entities are trying to love Krishna. Krishna Prema. Krishna Prema is so valuable, but Krishna is after Radharani. Just see how Radharani is great. Try to understand the greatness of Radharani. She's so great. We have to offer our respect. And how is she? Gokula Taruni Mandala Mahite. Taruni. Taruni means young girls. You will see the pictures. They're all young girls. She is the most beautiful. She is enchanting to the young girls also. She is so beautiful. Gokula Taruni Mandala Mahite Damodarati Vardhanaveshi. She always dresses herself so nicely that Damodar, Krishna, is attracted to her. She is the only lovable object of Krishna. The only lovable object of Krishna. And she is the queen of Vrindavan. You will find in Vrindavan. If you go to Vrindavan, everyone is worshipping Radharani. Rani means queen. And of course, none of the devotees have ever been to Vrindavan at this point, the Prabhupada says. If you go to Vrindavan, everyone is worshipping Radharani. They're always speaking, Jai Radhe. Is that banned or not banned? I keep forgetting. Radharani. All the devotees in Vrindavan, they are worshippers of Radharani. Moksha, you can be the referee. Karunam kurumai, karuna bharite, sanaka sanatana, varnita charite. And Prabhupada continues to explain that Radha Krishna philosophy is a very great philosophy and is understood on the liberated stage, not on the conditioned stage. He said, on the conditioned stage, we worship Lakshmi Narayan. We worship Lakshmi Narayan through the sacred image of Radha Krishna by regulated devotional service. So in this Vidhi Marga, when you have no love for God or Krishna, you have to follow the regulated principles, and automatically there is practice when practicing. Just like you practice this mridanga playing. In the beginning, it is not in order. But when you become well-versed in the practice, the sound will become so nice. Similarly, when we are engaged by regulated principles, this is the same thing. He says, so without Vidhi Marga, if anyone wants to learn the Raga Marga immediately, that is foolishness. Nobody can pass MA examination without going through the regulative principles or primary schools and colleges. So therefore, listen carefully. Prabhupada's going to say something here by which we can understand the difference between His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, and others before or since. He says, so therefore, I do not indulge in the discussions of Radha and Krishna so easily. Rather, go on with the regulative principle at the present moment. Gradually, as you become purified, as you become on the transcendental platform, you will understand what is Radha Krishna. Don't try to understand Radha Krishna very quickly. It is a big subject. If we want to understand Radha Krishna very quickly, then there will be so many Prakriti Sahajas. In India, there are Prakriti Sahajas, just like Radha Krishna dancing. Radha Krishna has become a plaything. The painting Radha Krishna, Krishna's kissing Radha, Radha's kissing, these are all nonsense. Radha Krishna philosophy has to be understood by the liberated person, not by the conditioned soul. So we shall await for the fortunate moment when we are liberated. Then we shall understand Radha Krishna Pranar Vikritir. So then he says, now somebody may say, oh, you are such great learned scholar, you are so great saintly person, and you are now begging mercy from an ordinary girl. How is that? Therefore, Rupa Goswami says, oh, this is not ordinary girl. Sanaka Sanatana Varnita Charite. This girl's description is possible to be made only by great saintly persons, by Sanaka, and Sanatana. So Sanaka and Sanatana, these are great, the Chatusana, the great sons of Brahma. These are the persons who are describing Srimati Radharani, not just anybody. This is not a pop song. This is a song flowing from the mouth of the four Kumaras. So in the Nectar of Devotion, Prabhupada explains the principle of attracting attracting Krishna by through the compassionate Radharani. Instead of offering, this is Nectar of Devotion, page 176, he said, instead of offering obeisances to Krishna, devotees offer obeisances to his compassionate nature. Actually, because Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead, it is very difficult to approach him. But the devotees, taking advantage of his compassionate nature, which is represented by Radharani, always pray to Radharani for Krishna's compassion. So if you don't already do that on a daily basis, or if you think, well, I'm chanting Hare Krishna, Hare means Radha, so therefore I'm doing it as I'm chanting my rounds, that may or may not be acceptable. We don't know. If you're doing it with love, that may be acceptable. But if you want to do something that we know here Prabhupada is describing as eminently acceptable, then we make a business of specifically praying to Srimati Radharani to please be kind to me. Prabhupada liked a series of prayers, a great series of prayers. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur also liked these prayers. He liked them so much that he sort of rewrites them in Bengali for one of his songs. And this was by a great saint called Yamunacharya. Yamunacharya. And these prayers were called the Stotra Ratna. Stotra Ratna. And in these prayers, the devotee speaks to God and he says, my dear Lord, you are most merciful. But in order for you to really be the most merciful, you need someone who's really the most fallen. You see, without being the lifter up of the most fallen, how can you be called the most merciful? Therefore, I present myself to you today as the most fallen. And I don't think you should have any arguments about this. I'm here standing before you. I am the most fallen devotee. So therefore, please give me your mercy. Without me, there's no meaning to your mercy anyway. You need me in order to be known as Krishna, the most merciful person. You need me. Because he goes, this is sort of an ecstatic prayer. So, how can you be the most merciful if you're not merciful to me? I've already declared that I'm the most fallen, therefore, you need me. And I need you. But you need me more. So there's this play between the devotees. So it's not that Krishna consciousness takes place between the great devotees and the Lord, and we have to, you know, it's not that we should, you know, chant Hare Krishna 9,400,096 times before we can express ourselves to Krishna. No, right from the very beginning, we should come and we should say, I am, actually, you know, I think if you examine me, you must know already. You see, but this is something that a person who prays sincerely doesn't do. I can't pray to Krishna because Krishna already knows what I'm going to say. Because he's a super soul. So what's the point of me praying? No. If you think like that, you will never ever pray to Krishna. What's the point of me chanting japa? Krishna already knows when I'm going to surrender because he's Trikalagya. It may not be this life. This is called, in Christianity, it's called Calvinism. Calvin was a great Christian philosopher, but he had a very extreme understanding of God. He said, if you know that God knows everything, then God is so powerful because he sees past, present, and future, because he lives on the platform of eternity. So he already knows what you're going to pray, so no need for praying. He already knows whether you're going to join him in heaven, this life. So he's already chosen you. If you're chosen, you're chosen. If you're not chosen, hard luck. It's a very extreme philosophy. We don't share that philosophy. we say, chosen or not chosen, Trikala Gyal or not, Krishna, through Radharani, will respond to the plea of the devotee. So really, especially today, we are focusing our mind on begging. We are beggars. We have nothing. We have no devotion. All right, we have some. But if you have some, then you'll know that you have none, because you'll be humble. And you come in front of the Lord and you say, I have nothing, you have everything. And then we turn away from Krishna and we say, Srimati Radharani, he's not listening to me, but you are listening to me. Please listen to me. If you ask him, then he will give me his mercy. This is the devotee is we are trying. We have to be constructive and creative in our prayer. And it has to come from the heart and out through the mouth. And when it's vocalized and you hear yourself praying, and sometimes tears come, then you know you've been successful. Why do tears come when you pray? Because if your praying is sincere, Srimati Radharani has accepted those prayers, and when tears are the sign that your prayers have been accepted. So gently speaking, this Krishna consciousness is the art of begging for mercy. It's the art of the exchange of mercy attained through the begging of the devotee. Really, we're crying for Krishna, aren't we? Hey Radhe, Braja Devaki, Chalalite. We're asking. Srinivasacharya puts these words down. He says, the six Goswamis, from whom all our philosophy comes, after the Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they are saying, my dear Krishna, where are you? Where are you? My life is absent without you. So this is the prayer of a devotee. Prabhupada continues. We have 15 minutes left. I hope you're okay. So then, and for praying to Radharani, the easiest way, yes, first of all, Prabhupada says, sometimes describes Radharani as Krishna's tender-hearted female counterpart. Who is Radharani? Krishna's tender-hearted female counterpart. And don't forget the tender-hearted, okay? Prabhupada always explained it there, tender-hearted female. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, he would say, Srimati Radharani is Krishna's, not counterpart, but counter-whole. Counter-whole, W-H-O-E-L-E. He said, we are devotees. Wasn't there that king came to Radhakund, and he was walking around Radhakund. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati saw him and he said, this king has come to Radhakund. He said, because he is devoted to Krishna and Radhakund is dear to Krishna. He said, we have come to Radhakund. He said, because Radhakund is dear to Radharani. We are devotees of Radharani and Krishna is therefore dear to us. This is the Gaudiya conception. So Srila Prabhupada was on the one hand very reserved in speaking about Radharani, but he nevertheless imparted to us a sweet and pure understanding of Radharani and the practical means to advance ourselves in her service. Let's carry on. Prabhupada says, explaining why he was so reserved in speaking about this subject matter. Did you know that there's parts of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the loving affairs of Radha and Krishna, that the Gaudiya Math never recite in public? Never recite in public. There are some things that are fit only to be discussed in private. Prabhupada says, once there was a fire in a barn, and a cow became so frightened that thereafter, whenever she saw the color red, she panicked. In a similar way, conditioned souls are so traumatized or addicted to sex pleasure that as soon as they see a picture of Krishna embracing Radha, they think, yes, that is the same as what I feel for my girlfriend. Prabhupada is he's chopping, he's hacking away, all through his life. And then he explains about a man, he says, and this man was saying, Whether this is something in Shastra or something that Prabhupada had heard in his youth, he's telling a man, he says, whenever I hear the name Radha, I always think of a barber's wife I knew whose name was Radha. One time he said, do not bring Radharani into the marketplace. You know, we have a phenomenon. First time I went to India, we pulled into a filling station, petrol station, and it was called the Mahavishnu Petrol Station. And it was my first time in India, and I said, look, it's Mahavishnu. It's Mahavishnu. They're using the name of Mahavishnu. That's amazing. I didn't know, of course, that you can have Mahavishnu saris, Mahavishnu cream cakes, the Shiradakshai shopping bazaar, and sometimes the Sri Radha, you know, Pizza Hut or something. Prabhupada said, he said, do not bring the name of Sri Radha into the marketplace. That's what he said. So in the preface to the Krishna book, Prabhupada begins, in these Western countries, when someone sees a cover of a book like Krishna, he immediately asks, who is Krishna? Who is the girl with Krishna? But I think it's significant that although Prabhupada starts with the, that he completes the preface, but he answers the question, who is Krishna? But he doesn't answer the question, who is Radha? So he says, people ask the question. So in 1969, on Radhastami Day, today, in London, in Bury Place, the old temple, near the British Museum, Prabhupada says, Radharani is the pleasure potency, the Haladini Shakti. And he taught from the very beginning the very same things. And Prabhupada, in that lecture, begins to sing the mantra, Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavan Eshwari. Yes, okay. Well, that's not what Prabhupada said. But he chanted the first half. You have to get it right. He also mentioned that we should approach Radharani, then we can get Krishna's favor. So this is what Prabhupada said in 1969, 50 years ago, in London, on this day. If we approach Krishna through Radharani, through her mercy, then it becomes very easy. If Radharani recommends, this devotee is very nice, then Krishna immediately accepts, however a fool I may be. Because it is recommended by Radharani, Krishna accepts. Therefore in Vrindavan you will find all the devotees, they are chanting more Radha's name than Krishna's. Wherever you go, you will find the devotees are addressing Jai Radhi. You still find in Vrindavan, they're glorifying Radharani. They're more interested in worshipping Radharani. Because, however fallen I may be, if somehow or another I can please Radharani, then it is very easy for me to understand Krishna. Okay? Thank you. We also know that Prabhupada's father prayed that he could please become a devotee of Radharani. Another important point is that as Radharani worshipped Krishna in the mood of separation after Krishna left Vrindavan, so Lord Chaitanya was in this mood. Unfortunately, Krishna makes a promise to Radharani, I'm leaving Vrindavan to take part in this wrestling match, but don't worry. Usually when Krishna says, don't worry, ma suchaha, okay? Sarva dharma parityaja, ma suchaha, don't worry. We trust him, don't we? We think Krishna is very trustworthy, don't we? On this occasion, he said to Radharani, ma suchaha, don't worry, I'll be back. It took him many, 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 many years to come back. And even then, not to Vrindavan, to Kurukshetra. So this mood of worshipping Krishna in separation is unfortunately, in this manifestation of Gokul, not Golok. This is Radharani's mood. She loves Krishna, but loves in Vipralamba, intense separation. That mood of separation was taken up by the six Goswamis. And he indicates that this should also be taken up by all the sincere and serious devotees in this line. In that lecture, Prabhupada says, Hey Radhe, Brajadeva ki, Jalalite, Hey Nandasuno Kuta. Where, Radharani, where are you? Where are your associates? Where are you, Nandasuno, the son of Nanda Maharaj Krishna? Where are you all? They were searching after. He's talking about the six Goswamis. They never said, I have seen Krishna dancing with the gopis. Last night I saw. This is Sahaja. They take everything very cheap. They take Krishna very cheap and Radharani very cheap, as if they can see every night. No, the Goswamis don't teach us like that. They are searching after. One time, one of these British Sahajas, he came to me, and I quoted this to him. And he said, well, he said, where does that come from? I said, it comes from the six Goswamis. He said, well, six Goswamis. He said, there's many, many, many Goswamis, not just six. As if to say, anybody with the name of Goswami tucked on their head is therefore a bona fide, authentic representative of the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then he went back to his rolling on the ground in tears of ecstasy. Prabhupada said, they roll on the ground and then smoke bidi and go back to their girlfriends. He said, I have seen. And now I can sit before you here on this Radhasami day of 2019 and I can also say, I have seen. It's a manifestation. Where's Ramanashringa? Is he here? Yeah. Not to say that Ram is one of those, but I'm saying Ramanashringa is also witness to this manifestation, aren't you, Ram? We know who we're talking about. Prabhupada says, if you engage your tongue in the service of the Lord, he will reveal himself to you. Here I am. We should feel separation of Krishna just like Radharani, as Lord Chaitanya teaches, and engage our tongue in the service of the Lord. Then one day when we are mature, we will see Krishna eye to eye. Prabhupada did give us hope. In one class, he says, you will be out on the street distributing a book in the mood of Radharani, trying to bring some conditioned soul closer to Krishna. He said, and then he said, you will hear Krishna's footbells behind you. He said, then you will turn round. He said, you will see Krishna face to face. It's quite nice, huh? Quite nice. Would we like that? I think so. So let's get some books and stand on a street, because that's where Krishna is, apparently. So, Lord Chaitanya himself gave us the perfect standard, of course. He lamented. He said, I found Krishna in Vrindavan, and now I have again lost him and come to Kurukshetra. Prabhupada continues, unless one is a very highly advanced devotee, he cannot understand these intricate feelings. The author of Chaitanya Charitamrita has tried to explain this divyonmada, this divine madness, as far as possible. And it is our duty simply to appreciate it as far as possible. Therefore, the author of Chaitanya Charitamrita has made the following request. My dear readers, simply try to hear this description with faith and love that will help you to understand transcendental ecstasy, and at last you will achieve love of God very easily. It is a little bit like, do you know, I forget the Hindi, but it is something where you're trying to show a child the pole star. You have described the moon, but you're trying to describe the pole star. And the pole star is the one. It's a fixed star, that's therefore the pole star. You cannot see it. The Dhruva Nakshatra is in the sky. But the child is looking. The big thing is the moon. Big thing is the moon. But the child can't see the pole star. So then the mother, usually, arranges herself and the child. So I say, okay, do you see the tree? Yes. The trunk of the tree. That big branch of the tree. And you see where the branch goes up? And just above that second branch where it turns up. Do you see that star? Yes, Mother, I see the star. I see the star. So in the same way, the guru will take the disciple and say, do you see the trunk of the tree? And it's not that point, the disciple will just say, I'm not interested in the trunk of the tree. It's just a big black shadow. You see, you can't be impatient. This is called Dhruva Darshan Nyaya. That's it, Dhruva Darshan Nyaya. It means that you'll be indicated something else, something else, something else, something else. And then through that something else, you will get to the thing that you want to see. So we want to see Krishna. I'm sorry, you cannot see Krishna. You have to see something else. No, but I want to see Krishna. So sahaja means one who is impatient, very impatient. So therefore, you see, there's something else, something else, something else, something else. Ah, now I see. So Guru is taking us very... So then Krishna is Kaviraj. He's the guru of all gurus. He's telling us, just try to understand this divine madness. Don't try and experience it. Try to understand where it comes from. Engage yourself in bhakti, and one day you will see. I'm coming to the end now. So another statement where Prabhupada talks about discussing the feelings of separation. He said, the feelings of separation cannot be described, but it can simply be imagined by devotees only. After his separation from Vrindavan and the innocent rural cowherd boys, girls, ladies, and others, they all felt shock throughout their lives. And the separation of Radharani, the most beloved cowherd girl, is beyond expression. Once they met at Kurukshetra during a solar eclipse, and the feeling which was expressed by them is heartrending. If you can read that section, then you will get a wonderful understanding of the intense feelings of separation. So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because he's embodying these intense feelings of separation from Krishna, because he's Krishna in the mood of Radha, not blackish but golden in color, and he's saying, he's dancing at Rathayatra, and he begins to speak about Radha and Krishna. He says, he's quoting Krishna, he says, Sri Krishna continued, all the inhabitants of Vrindavan Dham, my mother, father, cowherd boyfriends, and everything else, are like my life and soul. And among all the inhabitants of Vrindavan, the gopis are my very life and soul. Among the gopis, you, Srimati Radharani, are the chief. You are the very life of my life. And you know, Radharani didn't say, well, where have you been all these years, if I'm the life of your life? She was very patient. So we want to see Krishna, but that mood of separation holds us down in the simultaneous realization that only when it is right, only when Krishna decides, will he reveal himself to me. So this is Radharani's mood. So as we pray to Radharani, we imbibe that mood. So Srimati Radharani is the center of all of Vrindavan's activities. In Vrindavan, Krishna is the instrument of Radharani. Therefore, from Krishna's own statement herein, it appears that Radharani is the queen of Vrindavan and that Krishna is simply her decoration. Krishna is known as Madan Mohan, the enchanter of Cupid. But Radharani is the enchanter of Krishna. Madan Mohan Mohini. Hare Krishna. Is that a good time to finish? All right. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. I would like to compliment you all for being a wonderful group of people today, because I know it is difficult without stories and jokes and narration to sit and listen to quotation. But I think the discipline is rewarding in itself, and we've been with Prabhupada.